Welcome to the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Drew.
How's it going, Drew?
It's going very well. How's it going, James?
Good. Today's a nice day. It's a sunny day, a cool day. So I'm definitely better than Friday night, which was terrible.
I don't know. I had a really great Friday night. I reconnected with some old friends, but I didn't do any. Oh, I did do some tech stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. I went out with two software developers and saw Deadpool. That
oh,
was
nice.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, I saw it too. It's, cool. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Do you want to do meetups around town?
Yeah, sure. Let's hop into it. Meetups around town.
All right. So did you go anything last week?
Well, you know I was at Hacker Nest.
I do know.
So that was Monday night. That was over at Rise. Mm-hmm. They had some pretty sweet office space, I thought. What did you think, James?
I thought it was awesome. And I talked to the guys there that worked there, or at mm-hmm. least one guy that worked there. And just for people that don't know, it used to be PaySavvy, right?
That's right. So they've rebranded to Rise. Do you know why that is?
It was because they're expanding their service from HR payments, I think. Or
that's
something.
Right. So I think with PaySavvy, they were really focused on the payroll automation, and now they're doing other things. So you know, things like scheduling your vacation time. I think they actually just came out with an app for that, and probably getting into other things. And they thought it made more sense instead of saying, you know, PaySavvy, which seems really tied to pay, to do other things. And
Rise for sure.
kind of made sense, and it was. The right time,
but I had talked to one of the guys, and he was just saying, like, because I was talking about their space and how amazing it was, because this whole side was completely open for events and stuff, and it was awesome.
Right. But, so that actually brings up an interesting point, I think, James, because I notice how I'm really starting to notice it and be more attentive to it, I guess. I'm not sure if I'm as guilty of it myself, but, you know, one of the guys, oh, this is a development guy.
Yeah.
I think we're really male-centric a lot of the times, and I don't know. I think the excuse for that for most people is, oh, you know, I say guys, I mean guys and girls.
Yeah.
I'm being inclusive.
I do that by accident a lot.
But I think that it's not so much the intent of inclusion from the speaker, but rather the possibility for the listener to feel excluded.
Yeah, that's a good
point. If
that
makes sense. And I thought, like, that's pretty interesting. So one of the people at Rise might make a little bit more sense. They have a
he
lot of
he was literally
people.
A guy, though.
I know,
so, I mean,
know.
In that sense, if I said guys and there was, like, six girls and six guys, I think that does, like, just say a group of people or whatever. Or just say these cool ladies and gentlemen. Cool. Let's jump into meetups.
Oh, well, I thought we were still talking about last week. So that was just the Monday.
Yeah.
Rise was really awesome. I wanted to mention that a couple of things about them. One, they have some huge space. They have that whole floor there. And I think they're only using about 20 or 30% of it. And the rest of it is all there for meetup space.
Yeah.
Hacker Nest is growing. You know, we had 150 plus in January. We had 200 plus in February. We're not sure what to expect for March, but we definitely need those bigger spaces. And so that's great. If you have a space that you really want to have it at that's in the downtown core, let us know. Okay, so after that was Monday. What else did you get to?
Well, I went to the Wishpond open house on Friday night.
So nothing during the week. An interesting thing that I also wanted to point out was, I think it was Wednesday
sure.
or Thursday, I didn't have anything scheduled. And I was like, oh, there's got to be a meetup. And so I was kind of like searching online. You know what I didn't do and I didn't even think to do?
Check the show notes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Why did I just check the show notes?
Yeah. I do that.
There were a couple things.
Something on Tuesday.
I really wanted to go to that .NET meetup that I didn't make it out to and a couple other things. So how was Friday's Wishpond open house?
Yeah. To clarify, we didn't mention it last time because it was posted during the week, which is why we missed it.
Right.
So so that was posted last minute. It was pretty cool. They've changed the format a little bit. It's earlier at 5:30 and ends around 7:30. They still have pizza and drinks, but they've removed the beer, at least for... I guess for the time being or
right.
something.
Right. So that's a really interesting choice. I wonder how that goes. I have, on the one hand, I kind of make fun of it, like, oh, yeah, pizza and pop party, guys. But on the other hand, Wishpond's a pretty cool place and there's some cool people.
Yeah. I had a good time there. Yeah. I talked to a couple of guys. Actually, I talked to a guy who's building a sort of like a grinder or a, what's the swiping one?
Tinder,
but for kink people.
What's kink?
Kink, like people have kinks. Like, oh, I like bondage, or
oh, okay.
I like people pull my hair or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's saying that there's a lot
and
of people that
don't cater. Those are
cater.
Things that you like?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I keep my hair short. so these are things that are like, he's just talking about branching out, and I think that this is definitely one of those times where you can actually talk about that stuff
right.
for people without, like, people just turning away and running, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we had a conversation about it instead of people just looking at us and being like, what are you talking about? Or, you know, feeling a little bit...
Yeah, well, I think
self-conscious.
I think these days, you know, questioning the status quo when it comes to everything is starting to make more and more sense. If we think a certain way, or if we're doing things a certain way, why is that really beneficial? Should we be doing it this way?
Yeah.
What about looking at it from the other point of view? It's becoming a lot more of a thing. So, and then today, last Saturday, which was Saturday, March 5th, we have the hackathon that we're at, the Open Data Day hackathon. And so really, Gilliam Vrooman, from the president of the Open Data Society, did an amazing job of putting this together. I helped out a little bit, but honestly, she did pretty much everything. It's really good. Excellent turnout. I'm really excited to see how the day goes, obviously, because we record the show during the hackathon, on Saturday.
Yeah.
Then we don't know who the winner is yet. By the time this comes out, we'll know who won. Yeah. And that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
Brain Station, by the way, they're giving away six or seven, $750 scholarships for their courses for winners of the different categories.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And some really cool people came out from that as well. Anyway, so that I think that was it for the past meetups last week.
Yeah.
And this week we have literally, figuratively a ton of things.
Yes.
The information doesn't really weigh that much.
So first thing on Monday, explore Git.
So this is funny. I talked to Adam, the guy who organizes this, or the person who organizes this, and unless people register, he won't show up. So I thought it'd be really funny if everybody who listens to this show registers for exploring Git and comes out. Even if you can't come out, post something either in the YVR dev, maybe we'll make a Git channel, or on the meetup page, try and post a really hard question.
Definitely be a Git channel.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think so. I think it makes sense. Yeah. And I'm going to try and make it out to that, maybe, but there's a lot of other things going on. Another one is the – oh, sorry. I should mention where that is. That's 5 p.m. at Moose's Down Under. It's over on 830 Pender Street. Should you bring a laptop to that? Most definitely.
Most definitely.
Bring a laptop. If you're not sure what Git is, ask about it. Get it installed and start using it. There's definitely this is the place if you're just getting started with Git, which you know you might be.
Yeah.
Then this would be a good place to ask about things. If you have some more advanced ideas and you want to talk about it, this would be a place to talk about it. You might say, you know, what about my branching strategy? Is this right? You know, or people argue about history versus squashing. What are the benefits, disadvantages?
Yeah.
How would I filter that? You know, what would make sense to do that? I've heard people say, oh, you don't need Jira. Just use some Git command with your Git. What command is that? What would that look like?
Yeah.
Can you help me figure that out? These might be some pretty interesting questions to ask.
Full spectrum from I started yesterday to I've been doing this for a decade. Right.
Yeah, I would say that there's definitely a level of expertise there that you should be able to ask just about anything and get a satisfying answer. On the other hand, people aren't going to develop your whole Git workflow for you and document that out and give it to you hours and hours and hours of work for free. But they will give you they will sit with you for an hour and go over hard problems.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sure.
So then we also have on the same night, Monday, a little bit later, so you could hit up both, the Ember meetup, and that's projects and mentoring night. So if you're interested in Ember, you haven't had a chance to really check it out, but you really want to, then go ahead and go to Code Core. It's 142 West Hastings. That's from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., Monday, March 7th, the Ember meetup.
They also say that you can present a lightning talk if you give them advance notice.
Sweet. So if you have something to talk about, that would be great. I feel really guilty that I haven't been attending any sort of JavaScript framework or front-end stuff, and that I just haven't been concentrating on this at all. I don't know why I feel guilty about it, but I feel like it's something I should be doing, and I just don't. So I added this Pi Ladies Talk Night.
Yeah.
It finally hit me today, when I was thinking about this. I've always been avoiding, ladies learning code or Pi ladies or kind of women-centric tech meetups. And I just realized, wow, it's not because it's only for women. Mm-hmm. It's that a lot of these other meetups almost seem exclusive for guys. And even with our language, like guy this, guy that.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
So that saying ladies or saying women, it shows it's an open, friendly environment for women learning code or in code, or, you know, not, maybe not learning, maybe experts in software development. And it's a friendly environment for that. So I'd love to be a part of that, and I'd love to go out to that. So I'm going to make an effort Monday to go out to the Pi Ladies Talk Night.
They actually have presenters. So they have someone's talking about PhantomJS, Selenium. There's someone talking about working at Datapalooza. There's someone talking about data analysis with Pandas and Jupyter.
Yeah.
There's a code tour guy there, Dan Mayhew, and as well as a simulating stochastic systems.
Awesome. So, so that sounds pretty cool. And so this is over at Salesforce. It's Suite 710, 375 Water Street. I can't think of where that is off the top of the head, but I think it might be somewhere around like right above Steamworks somewhere. Cool. But I'm going to go check that out. Should be awesome. Another meetup we have on the same day, Monday.
Yeah, this is the Ideas Meetings. Okay, that's so at 7 o'clock, and it's at the studio at Creative Coworkers.
And what kind of meetup do you think that is?
It's kind of like a hack night, I guess, because they said that there's a night where you share your feedback and stuff. It's a hack night, but you don't bring your computer, right?
Well, like you if you're giving a presentation or something, but I think it's more like get your idea out there, kind of pitch it and get some feedback. So that might be kind of interesting.
And like learn about people as well.
And learn about
people. They actually have a website too, so I will link to that as well.
Yeah. And I thought I'd mention that did you make it out to Kik?
No.
Is it Kik?
No.
So it seems like they have some open or some shared office space, something like that. I haven't made it out there either, but I noticed they have daily they have an open Scrum.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you just can't get enough of those meetings, then you want to make it out there.
Sure.
Or you know what? Maybe if you're working by yourself on something and you just want to feel like you're a part of something and going out and talking every day or once a week, I don't know. But 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., they have this open business Scrum. And then it's been so popular, they actually decided to do it twice a day. So they also have it at 6 to 6:30.
Well, yeah, I look at these events as like places where I can steal good ideas. Because I'm seeing other people how they work. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to steal that idea. I'm going to steal that idea.
Might be pretty interesting to go and check out at least once, I think. And that's over 88 West Pender. It's unit 2061. So 88 West Pender, that is the International Village, or also the Tinseltown Theater. That's by Stadium SkyTrain Station. I'd say go in and check it out, see what it's like. You probably wouldn't bring a laptop to that. You just do a stand-up and talk.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next one here on our list is the Vancouver Hackspace Meetup.
I thought I'd bring this in. It doesn't necessarily tie in exactly with most of our meetups and things like that, but Hackspace, it seems really cool. And that's a little bit outside of the downtown core.
Yeah, it's in the Olympic Village.
Yeah, so it's number 104, 1715 Cook Street. Mm-hmm. And so they have a weekly open house. Might be interesting to just go by, check it out, see what the Hackspace is all about. That's 7:30 p.m. Tuesday evening.
If you're basically working on any project, they say to bring it, whatever your project may be. Whether that's art, like a music, even like it said robots. If you have a robot project, so bring it along.
Nice.
Cool. The Closure Hack Night.
Yeah, Closure. The Closure group is amazing. I definitely recommend going out to that if you're into Closure at all or even interested in it. Seems like a really good group of people. That's on Tuesday at 6 p.m. again over at Code Core, 142 West Hastings Street. Bring your laptop
for sure.
Or a desktop if you want to carry that and set it up.
Yeah, and our next one here, this one's interesting, the funding and business support for startups.
Yeah, I put this in thinking of you, James, because you always like to have these
kind of
things.
You know what's funny? I tried to get this, but it was already sold out.
Yeah, so it's a free event, but it was already sold out. I'm not sure what their policy is like with that, but, you know, I often hear people who run events say, you know, it'd be nice to charge like a $5, $10 fee just to make sure that people actually show up. There'll probably be a couple people who don't show up, but I don't expect to get in if I don't have a ticket.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, that's 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Tuesday, March 8th. And that's over at Launch Academy, which is 300-128 West Hastings.
All right. Wednesday. Yeah. Busy day. The Developer Hack Night.
Yeah. So that's up at 6 p.m., a little bit later on in the evening. And that's going to be over at Brewhouse Software. So Developer Hack Night is the Ruby meetup. Mm-hmm. If you're into Ruby, if you have something that you're working on in Ruby, if you'd like to get into Ruby, if you want to talk Ruby. then
if you have a Ruby tattoo.
Yeah. Then this is the place for you.
Yeah, the next event is the Women Can Tech YVR meetup, and their topic this week or for this meetup is, why did we get into a tech role? What challenges do we face?
Yeah, so this seems pretty interesting. Again, going with the theme that my understanding, anyway, that women is not an exclusive for women thing, but rather it is female friendly. And going with that mindset, I think this is something I'd like to check out as well. I think maybe my challenges were quite different, but maybe not. So I got into a tech role. I faced some challenges as well. I'd be interested to hear about this. This is over at ACL Services at 5:30 on Wednesday. That's the 13th floor of 980 Howe Street.
Cool. All right. The Functioning Programming in Scala Reading Group.
Mm-hmm.
That's Wednesday, March 9th, of course, 5:30 to 6:30. That's actually at Hootsuite, 5 East 8th Avenue.
Yeah, so that's going through the Functional Programming in Scala book.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't know. I've had some false starts with Scala here and there. I kind of really liked it, but they say they do one chapter every 2 weeks, which I think is really cool. But it doesn't mention in the meetup page here which chapter they're on at the moment. So I'm not sure. I'm a little hesitant to go out, to be honest, because I don't know what chapter.
Maybe post in the comments if you're someone that's looking to go and maybe figure out what chapter they're on. Catch yourself up.
Absolutely. Okay. And then we have this other one. Are you ready to crowdfund?
Hell yeah.
Okay. But are you really? So I've seen a lot of crowdfunding projects like Kickstarter or whatever. And they kind of have this, they have this video or they have something and it just doesn't make it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really, you know, no, we weren't ready. You know, it's a clear sign that we weren't really ready for crowdfunding. If you're ready for crowdfunding, then hopefully your crowdfunding campaign is going to succeed.
Yeah, that's kind absolutely. That's
kind of what I'm expecting to get out of this. What are the key things that need to be in place for your crowdfunding campaign to succeed?
So they do have a little notice saying that this is going to cover 10 tips you need to be ready for a successful campaign, followed by a candid Ask Me Anything session.
Right. Cool. So it should be pretty fun. That's over at the 343 Railway Street, Unit 10, the studio at Creative Coworkers.
So Same place as the idea meetings.
Right. And this is, I think this is way over by, if you're familiar with that little restaurant, Ask for Luigi, which is pretty awesome. Go there for brunch.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's really good. But this is where I think Hootsuite was before they moved.
I see. Okay.
Like a few years ago. Yeah. So we also have the play-by-play ASP.NET Core 1.0 on any OS. So this is another one I'd really like to go and check out. Wednesday, again, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at PNI Digital Media Offices. This is the Suite 100, 425 Carroll Street on the first floor. So this is Shane is showing how to build a web app with ASP.NET Core 1.0 from scratch. Would you bring your laptop to that? Personally, I would. I love to take notes. I love to follow along as much as I can. If it goes a little bit too fast to follow along, I'd still want to take notes and kind of be ready. But you might not bring one. It doesn't say explicitly to.
All right. The next one is the Android Hack Night.
Yeah. So Wednesdays. What is up with Wednesdays? There's so much going on.
There's still more. Hack Night, we're not done.
I know. Not even close.
Yeah.
So I'd also really like to make it out to this. There's no talks. It's just sitting with some fellow Android programmers, plugging away at stuff. Now, I've actually always kind of been thinking of, you know, Android's cool. I like Android.
Yeah.
It's a great platform to hack on, you know, but I haven't done anything with it. I've set up a development environment probably 3 or 4 times, but never actually done anything. So this would be something that I'd really like to go to and check out. And that's right down the street from where I'm at. That's at Mobify's headquarters, third floor, 948 Homer Street. Forgot to mention, I did actually semi go to the React.js meetup, which was at the same place, but they did something really cool. I thought it was awesome, and I wish more meetups, especially some of the popular ones, would do this if they're having talks and presenters, is that they streamed it live on YouTube.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so I watched it from the comfort of my living room, you know, sipping on a beer, watching on my television. Well, it was great. It was, you know, it was as if I was there, but I was in my pajamas.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was
that's awesome.
It was really cool.
Yeah, Mobify is the same place where they hold the Code and Coffee. So if you've been there before, that's the same place.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I've got to get out to there as well. All right. And then we've got even more stuff happening on the same night. So the why and how of monetizing your blog. This is over at Big Rock Urban Eatery, 310 West 4th. So you got to cross the bridge a little bit. And that's Wednesday, March 9th at 7 p.m. It's also $10 per person.
Yep.
And this is, you know, this is if I were taking one off the list for what I'm not going to go to, it would be this one personally, because I'm not that interested in monetizing my blog.
Yeah, me neither. So,
right.
But it'd definitely be cool to check out. I mean, you can make money just doing some, you know, weekly writing, which is cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. And then there's one that I really want to go to. So there's like three or four that I really want to go to. I can't be at all of them on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Van Bug, the BSD meetup, is OpenStack and BSD certification. Mm-hmm. Who's not into that?
Yeah, tell your parents, tell your grandparents. Right? You know, they're all about BSD. Mm-hmm. They're going to go check it out.
Well, I really like OpenStack, actually. And I was just having a conversation earlier this morning about it. You know, we had the big OpenStack conference last year. And yeah, like OpenStack is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And BSD certification, that's really cool too. In fact, I've got a Unix environment programming book in my bag right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, and it's awesome. So this is Wednesday, March 9th, 7 p.m. At SFU Harbor Center, 515 West Hastings Street, Suite 1505, CIBC Lecture Room.
That's the beautiful building that used to be a bank, right?
Yeah. And it's, look, get OpenStack ported and working on FreeBSD. Go over the BSD certification. What? I think I might have to actually miss everything else and do that because obviously awesome.
Sure. Oh, now Thursday. Thursday's packed as well.
So Thursday's pretty packed as well. We've got some interesting things. I start out with the Go Geomatics Vancouver March Social. So I like the fact that we're starting out with a social. This is over at Central City Brew Pub, 871 Beatty Street.
Yep.
If you haven't been there, Central City Brewing, they're the ones that do the Red Racer and some other things. So they have a great selection of beer. It's a little noisy in there, but this should be, it's a social, so what do you expect?
Mm.
And this would be probably a good time to get out there and see the type of people that are there.
Yeah, it says just chat about GIS, remote sensing, surveying, basically everything in the geomatics system or ecosystem.
Yeah, so if you're interested in that, definitely check that out. Also, socials are usually pretty fun.
So the next one is one we've been turned on recently, the Learn Data Science group.
Yeah.
And their event, Learn Data Science by Doing Kaggle Competitions.
Mm-hmm. So that sounds really cool. Do you know anything about Kaggle competitions?
No, I've never heard of that before.
Me neither, but something I would not mind checking out. That would maybe be the one that I'd go out to. There's a ton happening Thursday. Another one, Windows Platform Developer Group. So this is actually over on the 1111 Georgia Street, Vancouver Microsoft, on the 11th floor. It says, you know, meet us in the lobby and we'll make sure you get there. So this is going to be pretty interesting. Windows Platform Developer Group, your phone is a productivity device. So if you happen to have a Windows phone, then this might be interesting.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Well, I know that there's a couple Windows phone developers that are rolling in it because they're in a pickle with amount of developers.
Can't be that
stuff.
Much competition.
Yeah, exactly. So they have, I remember seeing like some sort of documentary of one guy who had like 50 apps and he was making millions of dollars because he's the like one of the only developers that develops.
That's so interesting. And I did meet one person who's not a Microsoft employee that does have a Windows phone.
Cool.
All right. So another one we have.
Yeah. Van City Sec.
Yeah.
Vancouver's premier monthly hacker security and professional meetup.
Nice. So this is. Have you ever met somebody that's like, yeah, I'm a security expert?
I did at the Hacker Nest.
Right? Very rare, though, because it's not that. I mean, if somebody actually is willing to say, yeah, I'm a security expert, they must really know their stuff.
Yeah.
And if you've watched.
That's a loaded title, for sure.
If you've been watching Mr. Robot at all,
this might
be something to go to and get into, and if you're not already into it.
Sure.
But I think that would be pretty cool. Over at the Railway Club,
6
p.m., 516 Dunsmuir Street. And
they have drinking and food here as well, but although not necessarily in that order, so they say. They say no sales pitches, please. Just put bar tabs on expense accounts.
Nice. That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, and then we have more like the internet startups group.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there is a pay for that. Is there a fee for that?
There is a register on a different site.
Yeah.
So, be sure to check that out. But this one's called 4 Critical Steps to Explode Your Growth Like Silicon Valley Top Mobile Apps. All right. I think we're done.
I think we're done, too. It sounds like we have a really awesome week of meetups coming up.
Sure.
I know I'm excited for a few. Hope to see you there. All right. And we're here with Rob Gulowich.
Gulowich.
Sorry. I've never had anybody mess up my last name. Just kidding. All right. Rob Gulowich, really great to have you. So you're here from Human API.
Yeah.
Awesome. And thanks for being here. James, do you know why... we invited Rob.
Because Rob is the main developer at Human API.
Kind of, yes. But also, I went out to one of my favorite meetups that I don't always get to. That's also usually on a Wednesday. Wednesday is one of our most packed nights. The Docker meetup. And Rob gave an amazing presentation. Well, I thought it was amazing presentation. It was okay.
Yeah, it was.
It was really good. It was awesome. About basically about your whole stack at Human API, some of the problems you faced with your microservice architecture, and I really liked it. I was impressed, and I wanted to have you here to talk about that.
I think I remember you mentioning that you went there and how much fun it was, and talking about Human API and wanting to talk to them. So now is our chance.
Right? That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And James, you had a whole series of other sort of questions and takes that you wanted to ask.
Sure.
And Rob, I'm sure you had a few things that you wanted to say on the podcast.
Yeah, you bet.
Awesome. So thanks for joining us, first of all. Let's start out a little bit with, who are you?
Yeah. All right, get right into it. Yeah, what am I doing here? Yeah. My name is Rob Golowicz. I work for Human API, as we already covered. I am basically in charge of the infrastructure engineering and our kind of front-end teams at Human API. And so I've been working there for about a year.
For about a year? Yeah. Okay. And what made you decide, hey, Human API, that's somewhere I want to be?
So it's actually an interesting story, because I was, like many kind of seniorish developers, was not looking. I was kind of like at a comfortable job, and I'm just like, this is great. I'm really liking what I'm doing. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. And a former coworker of mine actually approached me and was like, hey, you want to grab coffee? Mm-hmm. And like totally just like blindside sold me on the company.
Wow. HR just gave huge referral bonuses, and you want to take advantage.
It was not even that. He was just like, he was really jazz on the idea, and he's you should come meet the CEO. He's a really great guy. And so, I just met him for coffee and was like totally sold on the mission.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So what was that mission?
So the mission of Human API is to basically digitize all health data in the world. So, just a small little mission, there's not much health data in the world, but the idea is that basically we want to be able to have all health data in an electronic form, and you should be able to get health data from anywhere to anywhere. So we're actually building a network of health data.
So what kind of companies would use Human API?
So we actually sell to, we don't sell to end users. We sell to developers. Mm-hmm. And our primary use case right now is we sell to developers that want to build health and fitness apps. Mm-hmm. So you have some sort of great idea for a health app, but you don't want to have to go through how do I get data from hospitals? How do I sync with Fitbit? How do I interact with HealthKit? All that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we basically handle all of that heavy lifting for you.
Okay. So what are some companies that have used a Human API, or maybe some products that we might know?
So I don't know how many of you
actually
know
about.
Fair enough.
So maybe that's a good segue into how much of this data is stuff that is secret? Is this all data that's open? Are people giving it up? Is it data that's being sold through a company that you signed some sort of crazy agreement? How does that all work?
So we firmly believe that the end user, the person whose data it is, should actually be in the loop. So I would not feel morally okay with us just going off and taking health data from all sorts of places and just selling it to people. So we actually interact directly with hospitals and clinics and that kind of stuff, which is obviously really private data, as well as APIs like Fitbit and stuff like that. And so part of the process actually is that we require the user's permission to actually get that data. So if you are building an app with us, we actually have a little UI that you embed in your app, and that allows you to search for different data sources that you can share with us.
That's awesome.
So maybe from a sort of high level here, how do you ensure that user data does remain secure?
So
a bit of a loaded question.
That's actually a really important question, because a lot of our customers are very concerned about that, right? Unlike other data, maybe your Facebook data or something like that, this is data for your, this is very personal and might have very personal details about you.
Right.
And
so
just your family too.
Well, absolutely. Right. And so this is definitely a really touchy issue. And so we take it really, really seriously, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so we are actually bound. That our parent company is in the USA, and most of our data is stored in the USA right now. Mm-hmm. And that's also our primary market. So we are primarily bound by a law called HIPAA, yeah. which is the American like Health Privacy Act.
Yeah.
And so that basically puts a lot of like really strict restrictions on what we can do with that data and how we store it. So there are things like that data needs to be like encrypted in transit. It needs to be encrypted at rest. There's really strict security controls on like who has access to it.
And is there any auditing or anything that goes on with your systems?
Yeah, absolutely. Like we have to maintain audit trails for like a really long time. Wow. And there's a lot of like legislation around like what happens if there's a security breach. All sorts of like it's really tightly regulated.
Sure.
Which is awesome, right? Like this is something that you
Peace
want
of mind
for
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
So something you brought up at during your presentation was that you often have all sorts and forms of data coming in, and so you're getting all this data. Sometimes it's formatted, sometimes it's not, and you know, just kind of putting this into some sort of database and then running machine learning algorithms over that. So is there a whole machine learning team?
So yeah, we're actually currently building out our machine learning team. Mm-hmm. We have a tiny bit of experience there, but we're kind of actively going into that area. So we're building out because as you said, this data is very unstructured. It's also very unclean. Like mm-hmm. this is often like transcribed doctor's notes or things that were like OCR'd or something like that. Yeah. So
well, it's interesting. It gives you it gives you some really interesting problems to kind of to look at and say, you know, how much can we trust this data versus that data? What should data look mm-hmm. like? And then what can we do when we have all this data and how to process it?
Yeah, absolutely right.
I've heard a cool like example of when to use OCR on like a scanned piece of paper. Papers mm-hmm. in countries where they don't have computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you can't study a country that doesn't have computers or doesn't have like digitized documents mm-hmm. where everything is written. You just can't. So, and the man hours or the human hours that are put into that are actually, you can, you know, mitigate those with a computer. Just scan it and it knows what it's talking about and it puts it in a system and there you go.
Yeah, that sounds a pretty interesting use case. And that's analyzing the data. That's mm-hmm. just one aspect, you know, doing this machine learning, one of the problems that you're solving over a human API. What are some of the other ones?
So one of the most interesting problems that's sort of a like machine learning kind of in the machine learning space mm-hmm. is the discovery problem. So mm-hmm. basically you take like the USA and there are hundreds of thousands of like medical clinics and doctors and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. but there's not really like a definitive master list of like, here are all the hospitals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They all have this way of getting data out of them. Mm-hmm. So we also have this kind of discovery problem where we sort of need to like train computers in order to like discover what all the hospitals are, how we can get data from them. And it's fine to do that one-off, like if there were like maybe 5,000 of them, we could just like throw people at the problem. But when there are hundreds of thousands, you need to actually like train machines to mm-hmm. in order to like go out and solve this problem.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about the stack. Actually, your presentation was really a lot very Mesos-centric, I think. I took a look at that and. Kind of did a bunch of reading on it. I'm quite interested in the space. And I think I sent you the link to Yelp's pasta, which mm-hmm. was really cool. I thought I played around with that a little bit. And then you said, you know, you guys came up with something internally that was quite similar.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense because a lot of the tools were the same. And so you'd probably fill in the missing piece in a similar way. But then there were a lot of other tools as well. So everything that I've heard, you know, talking to other people when it comes to Mesos, you know, it's kind of like that's a beast you might not want to interlock horns with.
Caged,
you know?
but
if you have something big enough, if you have, you know, if you have thousands of services, then maybe that's something to go for. But at Human API, you have hundreds of services.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts now on Mesos, how you chose that? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about your stack as well for the listeners.
Yeah, for sure. So we, as you said, we have a primarily like a microservices architecture.
Sure.
So we have one side of our product, which is like the UI, and we have an API that we're using to like serve up this data.
Yeah.
But we also have this other side to it that's like the data ingestion and like normalization pipeline. So we have a bunch of different services that are all like constantly fetching data from different sources, like passing it off to other services so that they can, you know, normalize that data or do machine learning on it, that kind of thing. And so this is actually like a really dynamic environment. So these services are like coming up, they're coming down. Like sometimes you need to like run them 3 times a day. Sometimes you need to be constantly like checking for things and syncing and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So microservices kind of made a lot of sense for us.
Right.
And so how that actually looks for us is we started down this path about a year ago. I mean, almost exactly a year ago. So what I wasn't there at the time, but what my predecessor ended up picking, because it was still a very new space in the
container area.
But fortunately, he chose well. Like, we're actually very happy with it. And the so we ended up choosing Mesos and Docker. I mean, it was pretty obvious a year ago, and even more so now that Docker is sort of the winner in the container space.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the containers, the idea and containers themselves have been around for a long time, but it didn't really make that much sense. It, I don't know, Docker definitely popularized it. Did you even consider an alternative, like maybe LXD or something like that?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that Docker has really kind of nailed the experience in the ecosystem so well, and I don't know if that's really there for LXD. So
No.
I've actually, like, I've run containers for a really long time in production, so it's nice to see Docker, like, doing it right and fixing the UX when it comes to that type of containers.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so that was one aspect of it. I wanted to back up a little bit, because microservices really kind of made sense. And I've seen kind of two main schools of thought on these microservices things. One, on the one hand, it's kind of like, okay, microservices, this is some new thing, and it's all different, and we're pioneering new ground. And then on the other hand, it's, you know, this is just, a distributed system, service-oriented architecture. It's the same stuff that's been around for a long time. We're just calling them micro now, whatever that means. What's your take on that? What is a microservice?
So I think you're sort of right that it's not anything new. This is something that we've sort of been doing in the industry for a while now.
Right.
And I think what a microservice is, or at least how we treat a microservice, is you should be thinking kind of like toward the Unix philosophy, right? Like one service doing one thing, basically you should, a piece of code should be primarily doing one thing.
Right.
And responsible for one thing. So if you're finding that your code is getting more complex, you're tacking things onto it, it's becoming like this unwieldy beast, it's probably a good sign that you could maybe like split that apart into microservices.
We see that practically in the real world with like multi-tool this and like a hammer, the pair of scissors or something. Mm-hmm. When you combine them all together, you usually get some sort of like Frankenstein creation, which
Swiss
is really...
Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, do you want to use the scissors on a Swiss Army knife?
And you lose the toothpick, and all of a sudden you're out of luck, right?
Right.
But sometimes you need that tweezers when you're on the go, right?
I don't know, pull up all those splinters you're going to get from using the wrong tool. So I think it makes sense for sure.
Well, I mean, sometimes it makes sense actually to stick with a monolith because you know you got better stuff to do than like break your service apart into a bunch of microservices, and you can go a really long way with it. I mean, ultimately it comes down to whether or not this is actually like holding you back and causing you to move more slowly. And so we were in the fortunate space where we have a problem that lends itself really well to microservices, and we were able to sort of think that way in advance, and so it served us pretty well.
Imagine that, picking the right tool for the job. Isn't that just crazy? It's crazy philosophy.
So that's another thing that's often said about microservices, is usually they're small enough. I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, one definition might be something, a service is small enough that you could probably rewrite it in a different language or by someone else in a couple of weeks. On the other hand, it might be bringing the single responsibility principle to a service or to an application rather than just a piece of code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, it might be that we could actually pick the right tool, as in the programming language or everything, per service.
Yeah.
Of course, there would be a nightmare if every service is written in a different language to maintain. But how does that affect human API? Do you have a single sort of stack? Do you have multiple different languages in your stack?
So we basically we're still a pretty small company. There are only, I think, 12 or 13 engineers on our team. So we're really conscious about introducing new programming languages and new tools and stuff like that, because it really restricts your ability to be able to jump in on anything, right? Like,
absolutely.
If there's one guy over here that wrote something in Go and nobody else on the team knows Go, this is kind of a problem, because that's the person that knows Go, right?
Yeah.
And so what it has like enabled us to do, though, is for there are like certain pieces of software that we use in our stack where one of them is written in Java, for example, and so we can kind of have this like piece of Java that is isolated on its own, like sitting in a container, and we don't have to really worry about it all that much.
Sure.
It's and so
and not everything has to be on the JVM now.
Yeah, exactly, right. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the other things with like test-driven development is that you can set up your test and say, this is all the things it needs to do. Mm-hmm. And once it does those things, it's done, you know, given there isn't too many different things being added in different versions. You can say, these are things I need to do. It's mm-hmm. tested and it's working with all the things it needs to do. And then it sits there and it lives and it could be stale. It doesn't even change.
Yeah, that's interesting. Absolutely. What's your testing environment like? Mm.
So we have primarily, I guess, integration tests that we mm-hmm. just sort of run against the various services. Right. And,
automated?
Yeah. I mean, we're using Jenkins to run automated tests.
Jenkins.
Jenkins is the best worst CI software, I think. Yeah.
Cool.
But I think what you said earlier is really true. Like you define this sort of like functional boundary and like the interface to this thing, and you test the crap out of it. And that way, if you ever need to change the implementation, you can.
Yeah, refactoring is easy.
Yeah,
or finding that bug or whatever. Yeah. Right? Well, easy relatively too. Whatever,
or at least doable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly. Right.
Or you know when you can refactor with some confidence.
Yeah. I mean, you often get into the state where you were unknowingly relying on some sort of bug that wasn't tested, but at least you stand a chance of, making that change.
So creeping around your site and stuff, I noticed you have a ton of job posts, and one of them, you mentioned Node. You also use Node at the company.
Yeah.
There's a Node part of here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually primarily a Node shop. So most of our stack is written in Node with Mongo as our primary database. So it's not all of our stack is Node. I mean, some of the backend
Java and some other stuff.
Yeah, some of the backend parts really benefit from a strongly typed language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for our API and for a lot of different pieces, it makes a lot of sense.
Now, what about for the machine learning stuff? You said mm-hmm. this kind of early days for that, but mm-hmm. what sort of technologies are you using there?
So right now we're kind of going down the Java, Scala, Spark rabbit hole right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. So which is actually going pretty well so far. Yeah. It's knock wood. So far so good.
You guys are also pretty hip because you're using React. It looks like.
Yeah, actually we actually went. I think about I'm going to say like 4 or 5 months ago. We mm-hmm. actually went and rewrote our kind of this embeddable UI that's, mm-hmm. that people embed in their apps, mm-hmm. Moved it all to React, and nice. We're actually super happy with it. It's
cool.
How's that really been
well. It's actually really well. It was we've been really pleasantly surprised with how mm-hmm. easy it was. It's
the biggest knock I've heard is the mobile performance. Did you run into anything with that?
We don't have a terribly complex mobile app, so I don't know if that has to do with like the number of things that React is trying to like mm-hmm. control in the DOM.
So for the mobile app, are you actually using React Native there?
No, we're just
using native.
Is that what you were talking about, James?
No, the React on the web has been on a browser. It's great. Mm-hmm. When you move a lot of your logic into the front end, into the JavaScript space, and, mm-hmm. and you make the browser do the work, you make the client do the work,
right.
you need a better computer. Mm-hmm. Just that's what you need. And a mobile device can't necessarily keep up, especially a device that's 1 or 2 years old.
Right.
So one of the biggest knocks on some of these virtual DOM frameworks is mm-hmm. that once you get to a native, a mobile browser,
right.
your performance just goes out the window. Mm-hmm. And in that case, even now, from what I've heard, you still can't beat HTML, straight HTML to the browser.
Sure.
It's just there's that lag time between, the request is done and the view is rendered, mm-hmm. and mobile still has that problem keeping that gap tiny.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's really cool that you're able to use it and make it awesome, make it fast.
Yeah, it's been great for us so far. Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the other positions that Human API is hiring for? It looks like you've got quite a few job postings up
there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So we are hiring for a number of positions right now. We have sort of a front end engineering position, so working on that mobile app that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. A big part of that as well is working with in order to actually like connect people to their sources, we have mm-hmm. like an extensive kind of search interface. So mm-hmm. so working on Elasticsearch on the back end and improving that, and then we have a number of back end positions. So working on We're looking for people that are really into machine learning mm-hmm. and kind of not really data scientists so much as data engineers. So mm-hmm. people that are willing to like dig in and write code and get their hands dirty and like really work on our models and that kind of stuff. So I guess the only other position that we're looking for is just sort of like a core backend person that's working on like scaling out our API, mm-hmm. like looking mm-hmm. into database issues, that kind of thing.
So that sounds pretty cool. It looks like a handful of positions. And you said, before coming to Human API, you were pretty comfortable in your position, and you had a friend who was working there that came over and said, you got to check this out. And you're kind of, your vision aligned, I guess, with their vision.
Yeah.
If you were to give that same advice to somebody who was interested, maybe looking at Human API that might want to reach out, what would you say? How do it.
Check out the join us page.
Yeah, I mean, I guess basically just go onto our website, check out what we're up to. It's actually kind of tough to tell what we're up to from our website. It hasn't been updated in a while, but sure. I think
I sense a new job post coming up.
It's definitely something we need to work on. But so I think basically we're just really looking for people that are really into the mission. Like we. Mm-hmm. It's our goal to like improve people's lives, basically. Like right. we firmly believe that like democratizing health data and making mm-hmm. it available to people is going to be like a big game changer. Like being able to like, you know, have apps on your phone for all sorts of health things is going to be a big deal.
Oh yeah.
So I guess just kind of think about that and like, you know, like mm-hmm. see if that's something you're into, and if it is, get in touch.
So I had a big sort of question that you may or may not be able to answer, but I noticed that Human API is funded through venture capitalists.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And one of them is Andreessen yep. Horowitz. So, which is, for people that don't know, is probably the one that every other VC is jealous of, because they have things like Facebook, Instagram, GitHub, Stack Overflow, Box.net. Just if you look at their portfolio, it's just insane, all of these super successful companies that they funded in the past. And I was wondering, do you get anything special with that? So there's some people out there maybe listening that are thinking of getting VC funding. Could you go with someone that's this famous, like arguably a famous VC versus someone that maybe is, you know, like, you know, your rich neighbor? Do you actually get a huge benefit of that?
Like, does that help your day-to-day? Get access to some of the data that Human API uses, for example?
Because some of them, I think 23andMe is a portfolio item for Andreessen Horowitz, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So
it definitely doesn't affect me on a day-to-day basis. Right. I mean, it might be different from the business point of view, mm-hmm. like when, you know, we're selling to people or like, mm. you know, making deals or whatever, but it doesn't affect me on a day-to-day basis.
Completely unsurprisingly, I'd say.
Yeah. I thought maybe
it wouldn't be something I would typically know in a company I would work with either.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame, but maybe in the future.
Yeah. So I have a bit of a question. So,
For sure.
Obviously you attended the Docker meetup, but mm-hmm. What other meetups or sort of events are you personally or Human API involved with?
So we're actually looking to get more involved in the mm-hmm. in the community. So I really like OpenLate. So mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that meetup.
That's Hacknight, right? OpenDNS.
Sometimes a Hack Night, sometimes they have speakers, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And it's just sort of like an open forum where you can just like, you can go and talk about anything. And so,
and they have a really nice space there. That's actually where Rob presented for the Docker meetup.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I'd definitely like to get more involved in that. Mm-hmm. You guys have been, you know, really selling HackerNest. So I definitely like to start coming out to that. And then I actually found out from your podcast that, that there's a Spark meetup in town. So I'd like to get involved in that.
Yeah, they actually just switched the date up last time, so it happened to be on Monday, so I wasn't able to go. But I'm definitely looking forward to going to the next one.
Oh, nice.
Spark meetup, yeah.
So yeah, other than that, like the one that I'm the one that I try to make it to all the time mm-hmm. is the Polyglot paper group. I really like going there, and a good group of folks there, and I really enjoy.
We got to make it out to that. I don't know if you have, James, but I haven't been out to that.
Friend of the show, Chris from Wealth Bar. He used to. I just think he still is an organizer of that meetup.
I think he helps organize the social more than the paper, but yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Okay. Well, Rob, thanks for being here.
Yeah, all thanks right. a lot.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great talking to you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of
VancouverTechPodcast.ca. That's our site. You can actually email us too at show@VancouverTechPodcast.ca.
Or find us in the YVR Dev Slack. I'm at Drew.
I'm at James.
We're almost always online.
You can actually get an invite to YVR Dev Slack if you haven't got one already at yvrdev.herokuapp.com.
See you there.
Bye.